Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast with Andy Burcham.
Gary Gottfried recently did a podcast with a childhood friend, Max Wilkins, titled Brilliant Gaze, Your Best Day. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. In that podcast, he talked about living with ALS. Gary and his wife, Carol, are graduates from Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering. Gary was also a walk-on for Sonny Smith's Auburn basketball teams in the 80s. He was tasked with making Charles Barkley better in practice. Gary and Carol's task now is increasing ALS research and getting ready for Bo Bikes Bama. That's right. Gary will participate this spring. Carol and Gary Gottfried are featured in this special Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Well, very, very happy to have this podcast today with Gary and Carol Gottfried. It is a little bit different than most podcasts that we do. You'll probably hear the difference, but I'm just thrilled to have both of you with us today. So let's go ahead and get started. Thanks. And Gary, if you would, talk about your background and what brought you to Auburn.
Eagle, first of all, it is great to be with you, Andy, and all of your listeners. I always enjoy talking about my love for Auburn and Auburn basketball. I am originally from North Palm Beach in South Florida. I did not know anything about Auburn when I showed up unannounced for a campus visit. I was interested in the College of Engineering. Basketball was not even a consideration during my visit. I fell in love with the campus and the family atmosphere. When I arrived for my freshman year, I decided to try and walk on for the basketball team. I wanted to know if I was good enough to play for the Auburn Tigers in Division I basketball. If I never went out for the team, I would have never known whether I was good enough.
And we're going to talk about that career coming up. Kara, how did you and Gary meet?
Gosh, Andy, Gary and I actually met our first day on campus. So we were both freshmen, had gotten dropped off by our parents. And Gary was in Mag and I was in Bullard, and there was a common area out there. And so the guys were playing some football, and a friend of mine and I went out to play. So we met Gary at that point. And, you know, after that, our careers at Auburn really paralleled each other in a lot of ways. So Gary was an engineering student, I was too. And we kept running into each other. Okay. People always hear that we met our first day of college. They think we're, you know, that the sparks flew. It took about a decade for those sparks to change when Gary moved back from Dallas, and the sparks changed from just really awesome friendships. We both share a similar career path and everything else on to being the Gottfrieds.
All right. Gary mentioned that he's from South Florida. Where's home for you?
Home for me is outside of Louisville, Kentucky. So a Kentucky girl made it down here to go to engineering school, similar to Gary.
All right. Gary, if you would, talk about your sterling Auburn basketball playing days and, and what avenue did you take for your career?
Andy, you know I never heard the word sterling in play to describe my Auburn basketball career. Let's just say I was on some great Auburn teams with some great players. To answer your question, after the Elite Eight game against Louisville in 1986, I joined Frito-Lay in Dallas. Frito-Lay was a great company to get my feet wet. That is where I learned my career aspirations were in the field of supply chain management. After Frito-Lay, I pursued a career in management consulting, specializing in supply chain management. Over 25 years, I traveled all over the world working with some of the great Fortune 100 companies.
Gary, would you talk about your career and Auburn's part in your career?
There was not a day in my career I was not using something I learned or experienced at Auburn. I had a good set of foundational skills from my industrial engineering degree. I learned the importance of preparation from my experiences playing basketball. I also learned preparation leads to great execution when you are in the moment. I also learned do not be afraid to adjust in the moment too. A lot of my leadership skills came from watching Sonny, except the bad words. Sonny had an ability to motivate each player differently to get them to play at a level they did not know they had. I viewed my role as a coach for the people on my team. I would say Auburn played a pivotal role in my career.
Let's talk about your playing career at Auburn and Auburn's part in your playing career. How would you describe that, Gary?
Well, let me describe my playing days with a little humor. Charles and I scored over 1,200 points for Auburn. I scored 3 points and Charles scored the rest. If Charles did not leave school early for the NBA, we would have scored a lot more points. Sonny Smith was a great coach for us. However, I believe he should have played me more, because every time I played, we usually won it by a big margin. In all seriousness, I enjoyed everything about my playing days at Auburn. I am proud of what we accomplished. I am proud to be part of the first team to go to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Charles was a great teammate and a special player. Charles and I had our fair share of battles in practice. He would say I beat the H-E double hockey sticks out of him. Just imagine this scrawny 190-pound kid beating up the round mound of rebound. In all truthfulness, I was very, very physical with Charles. Charles gives me a lot of credit for helping him get to the NBA, but he had so much talent and determination. He got there on his own. Coach Sonny Smith was a great coach at Auburn. Sonny does not get enough credit for putting Auburn basketball on the map. His practices were very intense and physical. We were not going to be out-muscled in a game. Sonny had a unique ability to be yelling at you and be funny at the same time. He always appreciated humor. There was a practice after a huge loss where we were warming up and goofing around, shooting goofy shots. Then Sonny came in and said, "How many times do I have to say practice the shots you will shoot in the game?" That is when I grabbed a couple of balls and headed to the bench, sat down in my usual spot and started shooting. I learned so much from Sonny that I applied in my business career. One more story about Sonny. There was a game where we were up by 30 points when my fraternity brothers started chanting, "We want Gary, we want Gary." Mm-hmm. The rest of the crowd joined in and it started to get really loud in the old Coliseum. Finally, Sonny yells to me, "Gary, come here." I am waiting for him to give me instructions like we are in a zone defense. Don't foul anybody. That is when Sonny turns to me and says, "Go up into the stands and see what they want."
That's so Sonny.
That is classic Sonny, to be sure.
Exactly.
Gary, when did you discover the physical trouble that led to your ALS diagnosis?
In the spring of 2018, I was experiencing weakness in my arm. I noticed it when I was playing basketball. I was shooting free throws, and I could not hit the rim. Hmm. At first, I thought it was because I have not played in 25 years, because I was traveling so much. We realized this was much more than me being fat and out of shape. We visited several doctors. The consensus was I had an impingement in my neck. It's important to note I didn't have any pain associated with the weakness. The doctors recommended cervical fusion surgery, which in hindsight was not needed. I played golf with my best friends and Sir Charles in the Bruce Barkley golf tournament right before surgery. I am glad that I had my priorities straight, because little did I know that would be the last round of golf I would play. After the surgery and rehab, the arm weakness was not getting better. I went through many tests, pricks, MRIs, and ended up at the Emory ALS Clinic on January 8, 2019. I met with Dr. Glass, a highly regarded ALS clinician, who told me, "I wish I could tell you something else, but you have ALS. I was relieved to finally know. After all, we had earned our medical degree from Dougal University and were kind of expecting it. ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord. I am glad my computer is speaking, because I cannot pronounce those big words. Basically, it means my brain motor neurons become disconnected from my spinal cord nerves and do not activate my muscles. In less than 2 years, I went from playing basketball, cycling, playing golf, and water skiing to not being able to use my arms or legs, not being able to swallow food or drink, and not able to breathe or speak without assistance. My brain and heart work well, but I am trapped in my own body.
Gary, what's your philosophy in dealing with ALS?
I am not trying to fight ALS. I am not in a battle, nor am I angry with ALS. I choose to live with ALS. I have a lot to live for, and that keeps me going in a positive manner. I know that God has a plan for me. I believe there is a purpose that God wants me to serve. I believe the purpose is to share how important today is in trying to make a difference in this world we live in. Make today your best day. When you are facing a terminal disease, there comes a clarity on how important each day is. You cannot change yesterday, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. So, each day is a blessing. I did not understand that when I was caught up in trying to find success and busy with the things that don't matter in the long run. I have realized how much joy there is having a positive impact on someone or something each day. Therefore, I try to make each day my best day yet. My best days are when I can make a difference in someone's life. As I said earlier, I believe that is the purpose God wants me to serve. I want to share my message to everyone I can reach. Make today your best day yet.
That's certainly a lesson that we can all take to heart, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Carol, if you would, how has this affected life in the Godfrey marriage?
Oh, gosh, affected life in our marriage. Well, you know, the thing about having ALS for Gary and I is that it's been a journey that we've had together. So when we were both working, Gary out working with Frito and then ultimately management consulting and myself, we were pursuing things and we would share a lot of things together about what was going on in life and with friends and such. But ALS has allowed us to work on ALS together and work on really impacting others' lives, impacting our own, and making that difference. So just really brought us closer than I would have thought. You know, you think that. And yeah, there are things that are out in front of us, challenges and such. But, and Gary mentioned it when he talks about having a positive approach toward each day. It's so impactful. His ability to deal with all the things that we throw at him and all the challenges that are at him and his calmness with that and his ability to just stay positive through it has allowed me to, you know, take that on. And then really our marriage is stronger than it was when we rolled into this.
That's remarkable. Gary, how has Carol become a more integral part of your marriage?
Carol has been my rock through this ALS journey. Everything falls on Carol, from taking care of me to managing the household. Just the other day we had an undermount sink giveaway. Carol was under the sink trying to fix it. She has had to give up so much to take care of me. The unconditional love that Carol gives me is truly a blessing. Our relationship is so much stronger than ever. Before, we were both very busy with our careers. Mm-hmm. I was traveling so much that I was not home except on weekends. Our ALS journey has allowed us to spend almost every hour together. Even though I can't speak anymore, our eyes say everything for us. Our love has grown stronger.
Hey, let me ask a question of you, Carol. How do you deal with it? And I mean in a practical way, sure. And in an emotional way.
You know, when we first found out about what was going on with Gary, it seemed like things were moving so fast. So those initial things, and it would be the same if you found out someone had, you know, another illness, a cancer or something. Right. So at the beginning, Andy, it was a whole lot of just trying to understand what was going on and trying to get in front of it and try to make sure we had the right tools and techniques in front of us. And so that was an initial phase. I felt like we were driving down 285 in Atlanta at 95 miles an hour and there weren't any road signs. But that kind of cleared up. And it's funny because it's right around the same time that we lost Rod and Paula. And people kept saying to us, gosh, I wish I'd told them that I loved them. And we get that chance. Gary and I get that chance every day to be with each other, but also to be with other people. Now, how do we deal with it? Practically, we have a ton of people who have come into our lives and tons of people who are already with us, friends and such, who have just reached out and surrounded us in a whole bunch of love. Some of that's our big Auburn family. Yeah. Our Auburn family's been unbelievable. We have a great tailgate group. Our There Goes Davis is the name of our tailgate tent. Our There Goes Davis team, that would do anything for us here, our basketball team, our engineering team. Any of those folks have just really wrapped us up. And none of that happens without a caregiver group that we have, too. They're really special people. Andy, you've met a couple of them.
Right.
Those people allow us to still be out and about, to go to the basketball game like we went to last night, and to enjoy it. And they've come along and enjoyed it with us. So, you know, lots of people being with us on this journey has allowed me to, you know, really roll with it.
Hello, Auburn family. Let me tell you about another family in the state of Alabama, the Wickles family, makers of those wickedly delicious pickles. They've been pickling as long as I can remember. From football family tailgates to New Year's Day bowl games and every other day of the year, Wickles Pickles' secret 90-year-old recipe has been bringing those wickedly delicious pickles, okras, and relishes since 1998 from the Wickles family to yours. Wickles Pickles, those wickedly delicious pickles.
Gary, what did Auburn's run to the Final Four in 2019 mean to you as a former player in the Auburn program, and how did that team signify your importance to them?
Indy, back in 1986 in the Elite Eight game, we were tied with Louisville with 2 minutes to go in the game, 120 seconds from the Final Four, and we let it slip away from us. So to see the 2019 team get to the Final Four and to be a double dribble away from competing for a national championship was very gratifying for this former player. Auburn basketball history is over 100 years old, and Coach Pearl always talks about making history. I believe the 2019 team made their own history and could quite possibly be the greatest team in Auburn's history. Throughout the NCAA tournament, the coaches wore a LS lapel pin. Mm-hmm. That was very significant to me. To think the coaches at the pinnacle of their careers were thinking of me was very special. By the way, this year's team could possibly accomplish more than the Final Four team. We will have to wait and see. Oh, at the Final Four in Minneapolis, there was a guy in the stands wearing a vintage 1985 Auburn basketball jersey with my number 25 on it. As I mentioned earlier, my role at Auburn was the guy on the practice squad, so I was not on the court very often. So, seeing my jersey with my number 25 on it is sort of like seeing a shooting star. We met the guy wearing the jersey. His name is Rob Wood, and he gave me literally the jersey off his back. Wild thing. It was my actual jersey from my playing days. And while the story is just too crazy to hear, let's just call the whole thing one big God wink. And the number 25 jersey now hangs in our family room.
Carol, that leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
What has your faith and Gary's faith, how has that played a factor?
Gosh, you know, Gary was just joking. We've had so many God winks along the way, the jersey thing being one of them. It would be easy and to pull back during a diagnosis like Gary's or during the journey we're on. And faith has allowed me to lean into it a little bit more, to lean into it during this time. When things are good, it's easy to just be roll through your average day. When you got challenges in front of you, our faith has given us that ability to lean on each other, but also lean into other people who are stronger than us in their faith, too. So they come at you and they bring you that beautiful feeling that there's much more to this than simply the task at hand. It's much more about the people that you impact and how you carry yourself with them. So it's been a good journey for me, and one that I'm still on. I still have lots to learn. Mm.
Gary, you're going to take part in Bow Bike Bama in April. So I've got to ask, how does someone with ALS take part in Bow's ride? And what is Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's role in this?
Indeed, that is a great question, and one Carol and my friends keep asking me. Ooh. I was an avid cyclist before my ALS journey started. I read a very inspiring article about a guy in Colorado who had ALS. His name was Mike Simbura. Mike was also an avid cyclist who wanted to raise awareness for ALS. Mike decided to ride again. Just like me, Mike could not use his arms or legs. He could not speak and used a ventilator to breathe. Mike partnered with Zach Yendra, a local bike builder in Colorado. Zach built an inverted tricycle durable enough to go over 60 miles per hour through the Colorado mountains.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I do not want to go 60 miles per hour, nor will Carol let me. Mm-hmm. I am partnering with the Auburn engineering team to design and build something similar to what Zach built for Mike. The Auburn engineering students are designing a bike for a 6'8", 290-pound man with ALS. Certainly a complicating design factor.
Andy, the bike is like an inverted tricycle. Gary will ride in the front, but some poor sap, like me or you, will have to pedal him in the back. So I don't know what you're doing during Bow Bike Spamma, but we could sure have you on a little lap. You could take Gary out for a spin.
It might take a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Andy's going to be up for one of those. Oh, by the way, don't sweat. There's going to be a motor, you know, a okay. power assist, right. So you'll be fine.
Gary, what do you hope to accomplish by taking part in the Bow Bike Spamma?
First of all, I want to give back to the great people from the state of Alabama and raise money for the Alabama Governor's Emergency Relief Fund. I also want to raise awareness for ALS and the critical need for more research funding. Finally, I want to selfishly feel the wind in my face again.
All right, let's move forward to kind of a bigger picture. Gary, talk about the research or lack thereof right now with regard to ALS research.
Well, Andy, unfortunately, 80-plus years have passed since Lou Gehrig announced he was diagnosed with ALS. There is still no cure and only two approved treatments that marginally slow ALS progression. In the last 10 years, ALS has spent nearly $1 billion on ALS research. By comparison, cancer has spent over $100 billion for cancer research. During that time, cancer has developed 58 new approved treatments that are saving lives. I believe ALS should be spending over $1 billion every year on ALS research. I am trying to change that.
That leads to my next question then. So what are you and Carol doing to jumpstart ALS research?
Gosh, Andy, there is so much to do and deciding where to start has been our biggest challenge. I would say there are three areas we focus on when it comes to ALS research. First is to raise awareness about ALS and the challenges people face living with ALS. The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge raised much-needed awareness for ALS and over $150 million for ALS research. But sadly, most people are not familiar with this brutal disease. I mentioned earlier, I believe the ALS community should be spending over $1 billion every year on ALS research. Carol and I want to change the spending trajectory. We have begun working with Project ALS, an organization that has been around for over 20 years and is solely focused on ALS research. We have some exciting things planned for the future with Project ALS. With the help from so many friends and family, including our Auburn family, we hope to make a difference in ALS research. Lastly, advocating to our elected representatives is so important to any activities associated with ALS research. There are several promising treatments that have not been approved by the FDA. Unfortunately, until FDA approval, early access to these drugs and treatments is quite difficult. This is why speaking directly to our senators and congressmen and women about access and funding is critical for ALS research.
Carol, do you want to add?
Simply doing things like we're doing today, you know, just being with listeners and being with your community so that people understand what ALS is. as we learn about ALS, we also are unlocking all the other neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, like MS, those types of diseases. And so it's important that we understand those neurodegenerative diseases so we can cure ALS, but we can also work in Alzheimer's and things. So Gary and I will be out there a lot. You'll hear a little more from the Godfreys as you see us going forward.
All right, Gary, how can folks get involved in your efforts regarding ALS research?
Indy, thanks for asking about getting involved. The easiest way to get involved is to help Carol and I raise funds for ALS research. You can do this by texting CUREALS to 44321. That is CUREALS to 44321. CUREALS is one word. Please share War Eagle in the comments section so we can thank our Auburn family. Your listeners can also connect with me on Twitter or Instagram at GaryGodfrey25.
I connected today, by the way.
And he's pretty active. So, you know, Gary's talking to you through his computer. He'll talk about that in a second, but he's online a lot.
All right. That leads me to this. And I'm sure folks are wondering that know you, Gary. How have you done your portion of this podcast today?
Indeed, that is a great question. I am using a computer that allows me to use my eyes instead of a mouse. My gaze computer helps me stay connected with the world and to communicate. The voice you hear is my original voice, only digitized. Before I lost my ability to speak, I used a voice banking service to produce my digital voice. The underlying technology was developed by Auburn's own Walt Woltosz. He developed the technology for his mother-in-law. Walt also worked with Stephen Hawking on his technology. The Auburn reach is truly amazing. We have been so blessed by the Auburn family. For that, we are truly grateful.
Again, if you would like to start helping with that ALS research, you can text CURE ALS, one word, CURE ALS, to 44321. That's CURE ALS to 44321. You can also follow Gary on Twitter and Instagram at Godfrey25. I can't tell you how much this has meant to me.
And we can't tell you how much it's meant to us.
Believe me, to be a part of this today. I love you both, and I thank you both for being with us today. And War Eagle.
War Eagle.
One last question for your listeners. Are you making today your best day yet?
For Carol and Gary Godfrey and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.